to go through some of the lochos of an esrog. Remendus was very kind enough to donate a pasul esrog for me to use. It's a gorgeous pasul esrog. Those are the most frustrating ones. The Sefer Chaim Brocha makes a list of what the person you're looking for when he's going to purchase an esrog, in the order of preference. The first thing he says is that the esrog should be clean. There's obviously a point where it's pasul, that's obviously. But even if it's not things which are kosher, preferably, if you want to pay extra for an esrog which is mahudr, it should be clean. Second thing, it should be bumpy. The third one is the stem, the bottom stem, should be indented in, should go into the esrog a little bit. It's supposed to just be sitting on the surface. The fourth, it should be shaped like a migdol. It should be shaped like this. Right, going up straight and then going up towards the top. And the last one is that the pitim on top and the ukats on the bottom should one they should be directly one above the other. That's the five that he mentions. The sixth thing I would add is that the pitim it should be sholem. Even if part of the pitim is missing, it's still kosher. As long as part of the pitim is still there. But regards to being mahudr, preferably the pitim should be sholem. Some other points you want to touch on. If there's leaf damage to the esrog, so sometimes the esrog, as it grows, the leaves which of the esrog tree are sharp and they will cut into the fruit. So the more expensive ones, they actually protect them as they're growing them. That shouldn't happen. So that creates a little bit of damage. That of itself is not possible. Sometimes what it'll do is it'll cut into it and it starts to discolor because of that. So discolorations can be problematic. Sometimes it can make it chaser. It will actually puncture it and make it a chaser. So then you have to get a psak on that, whether it's a problem. But just the fact that there's leaf damage alone, what's known as a blood flack, that alone is not a problem. There are colors in the esrog which are problematic. Black is a problem. White is a problem. Red, as opposed to a brownish red, but a red would be problematic as well. A brownish brown, green. If you find an esrog with a blue color, please show it to me. They talk about it in the halacha, but I've never seen it. Those are not problematic. Now, if you have an esrog starts out, they start out green. Eventually, as they ripen, they turn yellow. If your esrog is fully green and it's still going to ripen, it's kosher. But the Mishnah says, how do you know for sure that's going to happen? So preferably, you should see that it should be starting to yellow already a little bit before Yom Tov. The other NEA raises the question, if the esrog has a lot of coloration back and forth from green to yellow to green to yellow, maybe that's considered a manumer, and he's masubic about that. Okay, a person should not get a smaller size esrog, because as it sits for a while, it shrinks. So you should get an esrog which is large enough. The pictures will show you how much that is. You should know when they prepare the esrogs for the market, they water them a little bit, so they absorb water. So eventually they will shrink as they dry out. They do shrink, and that's normal. The issue with this esrog, right? It's the shape is perfect. The ukitz is right under the pitum. It's bumpy. It's a beautiful color. It has this beautiful black dot. Now, so how do you look for this black dot? Where do you look at the black dots? So the Mishnah Berurah says that there are two areas. There's the upper area of the esrog, which is the chaitim. So everybody agrees that the top right is definitely the chaitim. The Mishnah Berurah is chaitim for the many Rishonim which hold it ready from the point where it starts to tilt upwards, to slope upwards, it's considered the chaitim. A dot on that area is even one of them is going to pasul, but the point is it's a problem because it's easily noticeable. That's how the Mishnah Berurah understands this. He quotes from the Sefer which understands like that. So it has to be easily noticeable at first glance at arm's length. So I pick it up and I go do like something like that, and I don't see it. I don't have to worry about it. It's kosher. Mahudr it's not, but kosher it is. If you find it in any other area of the esrog, or on the top, but not easily noticeable, so then it's only a problem if there are multiple ones like that. So if there are multiple ones, and it covers an area which would be considered a significant part of the esrog, which if you have that issue, you have to measure it out, so then it's a problem. So, but if it's on the top area, even one of them is going to be problematic. The colors would be a problem. Would be a black, again, would be a white, or it would be a bright red. If sometimes a little bit of the skin of the esrog peels off, that's not a problem as long as the coloration is still there. It's only when it actually goes into the white flesh underneath, then you're going to have a problem that you're missing something. So that's called niklav. Niklav alone is not a problem. except if it's on the chaytum, or it's in multiple places on the asterisk, or it starts to discolor, which is what will happen. When that happens, eventually it's going to oxidize and start to discolor. Once it starts to discolor, it's going to be, now you have to deal with the coloration, the discoloration issue. So you should be aware of that. If you have that situation, it might be kosher at the beginning of Yom Tov, but as Yom Tov continues, it might become possible. Have a good morning.